The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop here in the studio. Shaka smiling not as broadly, though, as Stevie is at home, I'm sure, after he saw Crystal Palace hold Manchester City to a 0-0 draw at Selhurst Park. A number of chances City created, but they couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. So let's take a look now at how things stand. City, then. 4 points clear of Liverpool in second. Liverpool have a game in hand, which is against Arsenal on Wednesday. Remember, City and Liverpool meet next month as well at the Etihad. Goodness me, what a title race this is going to be. Pablo Zabaleta with us, as is Don Hutchinson. Don, how did this happen?
Do you know, I was writing the script, Dan, coming on, I was thinking no one's going to remember about Man City beating Everton in the last minute, and no one's going to remember Man City beating Crystal Palace in the last minute. I thought it was a certainty. But my word, Crystal Palace dug in. They played some really good football. Patrick Vieira's improved every single one of them. They grafted. I thought Guardiola, I thought he missed the trick really not putting Raheem Sterling on, to be honest. The more Crystal Palace were fading in the game, I thought Raheem Sterling with his sharpness could have came on and make the difference or made the difference. I actually thought Man City played quite well in the game, but you've got to give Crystal Palace some credit. They really, really deserved their draw.
De Bruyne hit the post, Cancelo hit the post as well. A number of chances, one in particular falling to Bernardo Silva. We do see this occasionally, don't we, though, from Pablo, from City, Pablo. How nervous does this make you in the title race?
Well, the title is on. I mean, two wonderful teams. You know, they will give us a lot of joy to watch because, I mean, in the way both of them competing at the moment are incredible. It was two big points drop, Man City tonight. Thought Palace done incredible job. They deserve a point. So, only 4 point different. Liverpool has a game in hand. We'll see if they can beat Arsenal next game. Arsenal at the moment in a great form as well. So it's going to be a fantastic game for sure. But yeah, 8 weeks ago, it was 14 point different between two clubs. You know, incredible how Liverpool are only 4 points now behind Man City. So I have to say that Liverpool at the moment is doing really well, especially it was with a big signing of Luis Diaz as well. This guy has also brought so much quality into that team. So club got plenty of players to put on the field, and, you know, playing with this kind of football is going to make so difficult for Man City this season.
Pablo, what's it like from a Liverpool perspective? Obviously, you had that title running that went down to the last day with the Aguero goal. How much were you paying attention to what Manchester United were doing? Would you watch every one of those games as a fan, obviously supporting the team that they were playing against, or would you purposely ignore it?
No, you want to ignore it, but at the end, you're on the phone just watching the game on TV because you want to see the team, you know, behind you dropping points every game. But yeah, that season when we won the league in 2012, we were like very similar situation, like 12 points behind Man United. But we always keep believing that we needed to keep winning games to win the title, and we done it. So in football, you never know. That's why it's an incredible sport. It's wonderful always to watch football, especially the Premier League with these two teams that for me are too much different between these two clubs at the moment with the rest of the clubs in England. So it's going to be fantastic for sure. Hopefully, finger crossed, Man City can just keep winning games and win the Premier League.
Don, when you were fighting relegation all those years, how much attention did you pay to the other side?
Every single second, Dan. Don't worry about that. I was stressed all of the time. And even when you come in, Pablo will probably agree, Shaka for sure, but even when you play a game, Dan, and you come in at just after kickoff, just after full time, the first thing you do when you come into a dressing room, you've normally got a TV in the dressing room with the score lines coming in, and you are sitting there after you've played, desperate for the teams in and around you, whether you're fighting for the championship, whether you're fighting for top four, whether you're fighting for relegation, and you are desperate for the teams in and around you to lose and drop points. And when you come in and you see them drop points, it's an amazing feeling. When you see them win, it's a little bit of a body blow. But this is going to carry on, because Klopp said the other day, which was absolutely bang on, he said the levels that Man City and Liverpool are playing at the moment, they're pushing each other to insane levels. And the standard between the two teams has been incredible.
Does this change the match against Arsenal at all?
Absolutely. Well,
if you're a player, how much does this kind of, we've got to take our chance now if we don't?
I think the one consistent is that Liverpool knew, or pretty much feel, we have to win everything.
Sure.
We have to win everything and hope that City slip up. You kind of believe that the slip up will come later on down the season. And then all of a sudden you have this very real opportunity with City slipping up as they did against one of the best informed teams in the league in Arsenal. And you know how good they are. You know that you can't give this version of Arsenal much encouragement yourself. And I think it just makes the game, it makes the players a little bit more nervy coming into it.
You think so?
I do. Even though, as I say, the ask is still the same. Jurgen Klopp is going to be saying the same thing this week as he will be saying till the end of the season. That we have to win. If we are to stand any chance, we have to win. Or at the very least, he'll be saying exactly that up until the City game next month.
Yeah.
But I just feel that when it's one thing to chase as Liverpool have been, feeling that you have to win, but not really thinking that City are going to slip up. And now all of a sudden you realise, yeah, we really cannot. And it's there for us. I just feel it changes the dynamic slightly.
Percentage, Don?
Oh, mate, it's all on, isn't it? It's 50-50.
It is that close now?
I do. And I'd actually lean a little bit different to what Shaka's thinking. I'm thinking if Man City win tonight, I think Liverpool would have been more nervy going into the Arsenal game, because it matters so much that they have to stay on their coattails. Now the fact that City have dropped points, it gives Liverpool more encouragement, it gives them more excitement. I expect Liverpool now in the Arsenal game in the first 20 minutes to be really at them, even more so. They might have been a little bit more measured if Man City had a won tonight, but I can imagine them coming out the traps really, really fast in the Arsenal game.
Steve Nicol has been telling me all season, Don, that City are going to rue not signing a striker. I said, yeah, but the last season they won without a striker and they were fine. How much of a game changer would it be if they had a proper number nine in for this season? Would we even be here talking 50-50s?
Do you know, before you mentioned that, I was going to throw it in as a sort of joke saying, this is a radical one for you, Dan. I wonder what Man City would be like with a striker. Because every time they drop points, it's, they need a number nine. When they win games, they don't need it. It's Guardiola's style. He plays with false nines. They're a different team. I honestly agree with Stevie. I honestly think if they had someone like a Harry Kane or a number nine that guarantees you 25, 30 goals a season. You see a couple of chances when, I think it was Jack Grealish was on the right-hand side and he pulled a ball back towards sort of Bernardo Silva and he couldn't quite finish it off. That's where I think those number nines can smell a tapping. And I think that's what they've got, more so than number 10s and guys that play in the hole. These guys who get the numbers every single season. I understand why Pep doesn't want one, or he's a little bit stubborn. I honestly look at Man City and think they could be well clear with a top-class number nine.
Well, if you believe the rumours, they will get one. And what a number nine in the summer. Jan's talked us through it, hasn't he? He reckons it's down to two teams, Manchester City or Real Madrid, as who will get Erling Haaland. Haaland, big favourites, according to the bookies. Pablo, if City get Haaland, is it just a case of everyone should just give up and go home?
Well, hopefully they do it, because, I have to agree that they probably need some number nine, you know, some referee in the box and someone who got that, bring that physicality as well into the team. Sometimes that is what you need in the Premier League. I mean, What Haaland's been doing for Dortmund's been incredible. His dad would be very proud as well. And I think it would be a good move for Haaland to go to the Prem, and especially to a club like Man City. They will look after him for sure. Will be a big step in, forward in his career as well. But yeah, they need the number nine. They need some player who can actually make the difference inside the box.
Complete a sentence for me, Xhaka. Signing Erling Haaland would be a mistake for Manchester City because...
I have absolutely no idea how you feel that sentence.
That's it, yeah. It's that.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. Listen, every generation has its defining players. We come into the end of Ronaldo, Messi, and while I don't think these two players will kind of get into that class, the next wave is Haaland and Mbappe. Mm-hmm. And those are the players that dominate the game. Those are the players that will define the game for the next few years. And if you're City, those are the players, if you're any big club, those are the players that you want. So I don't think there's an ending to a realistic ending to that sentence.
Don, how will he cope though with the mighty Premier League pace and strength?
Wow, he's going to struggle, isn't he? He's not got the physicality, he's not got the power, he's not great in the air. Oh, he's tailor-made, isn't he? I mean, he's tailor-made. Listen, I don't think Liverpool will panic, Dan, because Haaland are going to Man City. It's not like, right, that's it done. You know, I think we all thought that when Thiago went into Liverpool from Bayern, we all thought, well, that's it. He's just finished Liverpool off. He's going to be tailor-made.
I don't think we did, Don.
No, I did. I think we all thought that, Dan. I don't know if the boys agree, but I thought it was one of them where Liverpool sort of struggled against the teams that were putting low blocks on and sitting deep. And you see Thiago coming in and the form that he was in, you think he's going to pick a pass. There's probably not many better midfield players out there in terms of his range. But I don't think Liverpool will panic for what they've done. They've still got Firmino, they've still got Jota, they've now got Diaz, they've got Salah. They've got an incredible front line. So massive, massive coup, I think, for Man City if they get Haaland. And he is going to be amazing in the Premier League. He's going to be amazing to watch. But yeah. I wouldn't just write Liverpool off or anyone else and say, right, that's it, done, forget about it.
More from Don and his sweeping statements, and Pablo's back as well for extra time. You can check that out, as always, over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's just remind you how things stand at the bottom of the Premier League. Of course, some significant results this weekend. Watford winning away against Southampton. Everton losing at home against Wolves. Leeds with that late winner against Norwich to give them a key 3 points. We'll talk about maybe a couple of incidents that affected the relegation scrap in a moment. But first, let's welcome in former Premier League referee Mark Clattenburg is here celebrating his birthday in Dubai, Shaq.
What a hard life it is.
Very nice. Wow.
Hope he's not expecting Keith.
Wow. How old are you, Mark?
30-something. Should we say that? 37.
That sounds like me. I'm 30-something too, Mark.
Definitely not, Mark. Crikey, righty. Okay, let's talk about some of the big incidents. Starting off with the Kai Havertz elbow. The boys disagreed on that yesterday. I'm intrigued to what you thought about it, Mark.
When I watched it, I thought, it's just two players coming together. When you look at it in slow motion, there is an arm across. I don't think it's in a malicious way. I don't believe Guy Havertz looks at Burn. I think it's just a coming together with the arm. I don't think it's a weapon. I think it's a tool. I think the hand is open. You use your arm for elevation. And I just don't think he swings his arm. And therefore, I don't think it's violent conduct. And I think to give a yellow card is probably the right result for me.
Don?
I was calling the game, Dan, and there was a little bit going on between the two players quite often in the game, and I thought it was a red. And the reason why I went for red is just before Kai Havertz sort of swung the elbow, the two of them were using, as Mark said, their arms for leverage. And then just as they both got to the sort of maximum height, he then didn't go sideways with the elbow. He actually leant upwards into Burn. And that led me to think, and that was a red card. And I think it's one of them as well. If Dan Burn had done that to Kai Havertz, I think everyone would be saying red card. So I thought red.
I totally agree, Don. And I think that angle from pitch height kind of shows exactly what Don is speaking about. That the arm is coming across, and then I think that Havertz just leaves it a little bit too high, a little bit unnaturally high.
Klatz, it's interesting what Don was saying in the fact that there was some needle with the players beforehand in the lead up to that incident. How much does the referee take note of that?
He should take note of it. I think he's got a full team to give him all the information. However, just to, and I understand what Don Hutchinson's saying in this, and he does put his arm into the player, probably leaves something on him. And we all talk about our players leave something on another player. However, when I look at the arm and the hand is very open when he leaves it in. If he puts his arm closed, which is what referees look at, they go for a bit of power. But I just think he's used his arm in a way that he wants to put it into the player, but not in a violent way with the arm when the fist is clenched as it's going into the challenge. So I can understand what the boys are saying, but I just think he's left one in and not enough for a red card.
The other incident of the game, God, Don tweeted about this a lot. I wonder how many people muted him because of it. this is the clear shirt tug there. Is that a penalty, Mark?
Yeah, I've probably changed my view on this a few times because I thought when I looked at it again, because I didn't really see the shirt pull as much. And I think if he goes down initially on the shirt pull, I think nobody will ever dispute that it's a clear penalty. I just think when he goes over again for the second contact, I don't think that's a foul. I think if you're going to give it, I think it has to be for the shirt pull. And I think if he goes down immediately on the shirt pull, nobody will argue. And I don't understand what the VAR, and this is what I think everybody gets frustrated at with the VAR. Why is the VAR making this decision? The referee hasn't seen the shirt pull. He probably hasn't seen any contact with a foul. Send the referee to the on-field review and let him make the decision, because the shirt pull, I think, is enough, but I wish the player had gone down. But then why should the player go down to win a penalty? So the shirt pull is enough. For me, it should be a penalty.
Don just wants to whine about this all the time, but I'm going to move on because I know exactly what he's going to say. Liverpool against Brighton game, obviously we saw Luis Diaz score. Why wasn't the goalkeeper sent off, Mark?
I can't explain it, Dan. I can't explain this one. If nobody thinks this is a red card, then we may as well finish in football, because the goalkeeper swings his leg with absolutely no chance of winning the ball. He's endangered the safety. I don't know what else. This is a clear, clear red card.
Keepers Union?
I'll take a line from Mark and say that Sanchez's toes weren't clenched when he kicked him. That's as good I could offer as a defence.
It's one of those head scratches. Most definitely. I just want to talk about the Donnarumma challenge. Obviously, PSG furious at the end of it. What did you think, Mark?
It's one of them that if the referee gives it, I don't think anybody would complain. But the goalkeeper was a bit laxy-daisy. He should have, got rid of it earlier. You can see Benzema's trying to get across to block the clearance. I just think, for me, this should just stay on the pitch. I don't think it's a discussion. I think, therefore, for me, whatever the referee give, I think we should just accept it. And I think the goalkeeper, we can always defend goalkeepers, but I think attackers should be allowed to block the ball also.
Thank you very much, Mark. Just a reminder, you should go over to YouTube and subscribe to ESPN FC. Plenty, and I mean plenty, of content there for you. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So Real Madrid with the victory, beating Mallorca by 3-0, and it is one step closer now for Carlo Ancelotti's side to lifting La Liga title. Of course, a weekend that saw Sevilla drop points with that draw away against Rayo Vallecano. It means now Real Madrid are 10 clear of Sevilla in second with 10 matches to go. For more on this, let's welcome in Pablo Zabaleta. Boy, Real Madrid are mean, aren't they, Pablo? Mean bullies. You give them a little chance and they'll take it.
Well, listen, that was a good performance from Real Madrid that second half. Solid play by the whole team. I mean, you cannot make those mistakes around the 18-yard box against Real Madrid. We haven't seen it against PSG today, against Mallorca. You know, they are so clinical. They have Benzema, Vinicius in a good form. So it would cost, points for sure.
Pablo, they're funny to watch, though, Real Madrid. The first half, you couldn't tell which team were the relegation strugglers and which ones were
Sorry,
the league
Sam,
leaders.
I can't hear you very well.
Well, I'm not saying anything interesting, Pablo, don't worry.
Yeah.
We'll try and sort out the audio. Shaka, it is interesting, though, isn't it? First half, they don't really turn up, but you know, and what they found, certainly over the last few weeks, is that extra gear when necessary.
Listen, and this is a challenge for Real Madrid, not just today, but between now and the end of the season. And probably more so today, given the game against PSG. You've got this commanding league at the top of La Liga. That performance against PSG in the Champions League, you wonder if there'd be a little bit of a hangover, if players are still reminiscing and congratulating each other over that. And you could almost excuse Real Madrid if they lost this one. We've seen it time and time
again.
Can't
hear you anything.
And despite how even it was in the first half, the second half, they come good. Yes, Mallorca played their own part in their downfall, but Real Madrid were just so good. And again, the man of the hour
Better
that we
now.
Continue to speak about, Karim Benzema, and how good he continues to be, how he continues to lead the line, whether it's PSG in the Champions League or Mallorca in the league, he just seems ruthless in front of the goal.
Pablo, how do you defend somebody like Karim Benzema?
Well, I think it will be so difficult. I mean, this guy is in unbelievable form at the moment. And he's been doing this for 15 years now. He's so clever, so intelligent. He comes deep to link up play with the midfielders. Then always is in the right position around the 18-yard box. He can smell where the ball goes. And, he's so clever. When you play against a player like that, it's so difficult to defend because he's very unpredictable. He never gives you, a point of reference. He's very mobile. So I never play against him because I was a right back. Probably I would be more on Vinicius' side. But, as a center defender, it would be a nightmare to play against Benzema the whole game.
Pablo, of course, you're based in Barcelona. We were together for the last Clásico, which certainly didn't have the same sort of excitement or kind of thrill around it that you feel this one will this weekend, of course, at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid are going to win the league, but Barcelona would love just to put a little dent, wouldn't they, in those celebrations by going to the Bernabeu and taking all 3 points because, boy, this team has changed a lot over even the last couple of months.
Absolutely. What Xavi's doing with the team now is unbelievable. He changed the whole mentality of the players, of the team. Barcelona back again. It's going to be a huge game for them. It's probably the last opportunity that we have to get those 3 points against Real Madrid and probably give to themselves a chance to challenge Real Madrid for the title. I mean, still 30 points to go. You never know in football, but obviously it's going to be a huge, huge game next Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Of course, we'll be covering it in some detail in the build-up to that big clash.
You're not going down? You're not going?
No.
You're not going this time?
Apparently not. Let's not dwell on that. Anyway, let's reflect a little more on what happened last week and indeed this weekend regarding PSG. As we mentioned yesterday, Neymar and Messi both whistled stress fracture. Apparently it's a play on words, Shaq.
Oh, is it?
French words that I don't understand. Pablo, you know Messi well. You grew up with Messi. Can you believe we're sat here less than a season into his first year at PSG, and we're talking about fans, his home fans booing him.
It was sad to see this, of course. You never expect to see the fans to boo Messi, but this is what PSG fans demand at the moment from the whole team and from the big players. You know, they want to win the Champions League. For them, probably the French league is not good enough. They won for many years now, and obviously the biggest competition for them is the Champions League. But, you know, that's probably not the way that you have to treat your best players. I mean, if they want to continue to build a strong team for the next few years, probably some of the big players will say, okay, I'm not happy here. I would like to go somewhere else because, you know, all the big players always, they know the pressure. They always want to do well for the team, but they've been knocked out from, you know, against Real Madrid. This can happen in a competition like that. Sometimes mistakes cost you a lot, and that what happened against Real Madrid. But you cannot blame Messi, Neymar because of that. It's just, you know, they brought so much quality into that team. They want to do well for sure, but you don't really expect the fans to boo their best players.
Will he care about it, Pablo?
What do you mean, Messi Neymar?
Will Messi care? Dan? How much will it affect him being booed?
It will affect, of course, because it's his first season at PSG. And he's been for his whole career at Barcelona. It was not an easy move for Messi and his family as well. But he's a good professional. I mean, we are in 2022. The World Cup is not too far away. So the commitment of Messi is there for sure. He went to PSG because he knew it was a strong team to be success. You know, with Di Maria, Paredes, some of his teammates from the national team. But well, you know, it's probably something. It happened with Messi also before in Argentina. So it doesn't really surprise me at all. Sometimes when you are a top player, people, fans expect everything from you. But hopefully, you know, it's been good against last game against Bordeaux. So with a good pass to Hakimi in the second half, he's been involved in some of the goals for PSG. I mean, he's a good professional. I love him. So I wish him all the best. He has to stay happy and enjoy the last the rest of the season. And, you know, as I say, as Argentina expects Messi to continue doing well, we will see it. There were some rumours, listen, Dan, today in Barcelona saying that probably he's going back to Barcelona.
Yeah, we
next
started
season.
Those.
I don't know. it's so difficult. I mean, look at this Barcelona team right now with Xavi. They made some good signing. With Aubameyang, Adama Traoré, you know, playing really good football. I mean, it was a shame he left Barcelona. It was a real shame. But now he's a PSG. We need to support him. But as I say, it's a lot of pressure for PSG right now. They have some big players. And this is, as I say before, that the PSG fans expect the team to win the Champions League. That is all they want at the moment.
And I think as well, the criticism that's been labelled at Messi is that last half an hour at the Bernabeu where he just went missing completely. And I know the problems are at the back. I know he's not Donnarumma. I know he's not Marquinhos. But people were looking at Messi as one of the greatest players that have ever played. to come in and help and lift the team, Pablo?
No, I know that. We have seen Messi scoring goals most week in, week out years ago. And, you know, now he's probably playing a different role more as the main playmaker for the team. But this is what PSG brought him probably this season to take them to another level with Neymar, with Di Maria, Mbappé. With those players, of course, that you expect them to do well every game and to win the Champions League. But as I say before, in football, you never know. Against Real Madrid, the first game in Paris, they were really good. I know Messi missed the penalty. They won 1-0, but then at the Bernabeu, they've been good in the first half. But then a few mistakes cost them the Champions League. And that's why the Champions League is the hardest competition in the world. And they were out against Real Madrid, probably the best player right now in the world. So you cannot blame those players, probably the whole team. So that's why it surprised me when I see the PSG fans blaming some of those players. I don't know. I agree. I've been a football player. I know what it means when you play for a top team, and also been one of the greatest players like Messi. But, you know, as a professional, you have to accept it. Take this as a, you know, motivation for the next game. And all you can do is just do well on the field next game. Simple as that.
Pablo, we're having a match in my garden. Friendly match tonight. There's Messi. There's Ronaldo. You have the first pick out of those two. On current form, who are you choosing?
I love them both, Dan. That is a tough question. But Messi is my friend. He just... I trust him. I trust him. That's the thing. I know what it means football for Messi. He came to Argentina when he was too young because he was desperate to represent his country. Even if, you know, he came to Spain when he was only 13. I will always choose Messi. It's just, I love this guy.
How big is your garden?
Eh?
But listen,
that's a defining
Cristiano Ronaldo,
question. How big is your garden?
He's top. Come on. What this guy is doing, he's my age. Look, I have not heard. I'm in Barcelona watching football from the sofa, and Cristiano is just keep working hard and scoring goals. So that's also I have to say that you have to love those players. And I love him as well. It's just, you know, we were so lucky to have these two guys at the same time because I think between them make both, you know, work hard and it was a really healthy competition between them always.
Just a reminder, by the way, for more on the PSG reaction to Real Madrid's victory and what happened at the weekend, be sure to check out this edition of Gab and Jules podcast. Jules was there booing the loudest. you can check that out now. And just a reminder then, El Clasico, live on Sunday. Kickoffs at 4, but join us earlier on in the day for a comprehensive preview to that game, of course, which is exclusive here on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a reminder, big game in the Bundesliga on Wednesday, live here on ESPN Plus. Borussia Dortmund, with that game in hand, looking to close the gap to just 4 points. They're in action away against Mainz. Coverage of that game starts at 1:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Pablo is back, as is Don, to answer some of your tweets for extra time. Stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweet. Shaka Hislop is with us, as is Don Hutchison, dancing away to the music. Pablo's just asking when this is all going to be over and he can go to bed. Late in Barcelona. All right then, Don.
In 7 hours' time, I got my two boys.
Daddy.
What are your two boys called? Lionel and Messi?
I'm like an old man now. I need to go to bed like early on, like 10 o'clock. It's too late for me now. But I'm glad I'm with you guys. I love you.
Yeah. That was too little, too late, Zabba there. Right, Don. Is bottle merchant Scottish slang? Stevie kept calling PSG that the other day, so I had to look it up, and it's my new favourite term. I'm not a native English speaker, so I've never heard that before.
No, I don't think it's Scottish. I think it's part of the sort of lingo in England, if you like. I think it's a terminology that just means, how do you say it nicely? How do you say it cleanly?
That's where it would be. Yeah, exactly. Bottle merchant. Yeah,
bottle
exactly.
Bottle merchant, choked, yeah.
Pablo, bottle merchant, is that in your lexicon of the English that you learn in Manchester?
Manc accent. I lost a little bit of my Manc accent. Mancunian accent.
Oh, man. But are there still some words that you just still don't get, Pablo? You could hear it time and time again in Manchester when you were there, and you're like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, I remember when I went to England, I couldn't speak a word in English, and it was like, please, speak slowly. I cannot understand any. Mark Hughes was talking to me, and I was just saying, okay, Mark, but I couldn't understand a word. from him. So it took me like 6 months, a year to at least understand something. And as a fullback, you have your manager next to you the whole game. And he was like, you know, I couldn't understand anything. But yeah, it's incredible, you know, wherever you are in England, how, you know, the accent changed massively. Then I've been in London and completely different.
Yeah, where was easier? Where was easier to understand what was going on, London or Manchester?
London.
Yeah.
London was so much easier, but people at some point they were saying, Sava, you have a little bit of a mix of Mancunian Argentinian accent.
The funny thing is, like here, mm-hmm. when Stevie talks to people, you can see they have no idea.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
idea what he's saying. They're just like, yeah. And he's yeah. always trying to make a joke. And they're just like...
And when... or like when Stevie and Craig are talking before the show starts...
Yes.
They go full on Scottish.
Yeah.
Even then, I'm kind of leaning in, thinking, yeah. you know, exactly what is going on here. And then they soften their accent for the show or if we go out. And yeah, you can tell. Nobody knows what Stevie's saying.
It's a little bit like you, Shaq.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When you're on the phone to Trinidad...
Well...
That is quite something. That's impossible to decipher.
I don't
know. And
I
imagine that's definitely on purpose. Pablo, what do you think of the new style of Kyle Walker? Stays behind more often to protect, defend, rather than attack more, which he was doing when he was younger.
Well, he's so powerful. I mean, physically, he's so strong. So he can do both things. I mean, he can defend and then support the attack time after time. You know, he's overlapping runs. I wish I would have that pace when I was, you know, as a player. I never had Kay Walker's pace. I wish it was like him. So for me, you know, he's one of those players who can do both. I mean, he can run, you know, down the flight during 90 minutes. Up and down because he's a beast. Physically, he's really, really strong. So, it should be so easy for him.
They ask as well, who would you choose, Kyle Walker or Azpilicueta?
The thing I like of Azpilicueta is that if at some point you have a problem with your left back because he's been sent off or injured or something, you can play him on the left as well.
Right.
So I like these kind of players who can really, you know, play in different positions in the same game. For a manager, that's always really good. I don't really see Kay Walker playing on the left-hand side like Cancelo does. I would say I like Azpilicueta.
Wow. You like- Manchester City legend slams City fullback Kyle Walker. That's what the handler.
I love Walker. For me, he's probably one of the best.
No, you prefer Azpilicueta.
I'm trying to backtrack. Too late. You hate Pablo. I could choose one.
Imagine I have Kay Walker and Azpilicueta. Okay, we play in some team that I need someone to defend.
No, too late. It's done. That's
too late.
Yeah.
Don, who holds more power at Liverpool during contract talks? The club? Or Salah with his goal-scoring record?
Ooh, that is a good question. That is a good question. The player can only do what he does on the pitch to then get his agent involved. But I think the club's got the power at the end of the day, because if they don't want to budge on what they're offering you, then where do you go from there? So at some point when you're in negotiation contracts, you end up meeting in the middle. And that's how it normally works. But Liverpool eventually, if it gets too much for them, if Salah's camp are asking for, say, 500 grand a week and it's too much for them, they might just say, I'll move on, we've got enough or we'll find another one. So I think the club's got the most power.
Pablo, when did you know that it was, well, your time had finished at Manchester City?
A year before. When Pep came to the club, I knew I was like not at my peak anymore. And, you know, I sat with Pep. We have a really good conversation. And I say, Pep, this is my last year for sure, because I've been at the club for such a long time. I want to finish, you know, in the best way as possible. I know that my legs probably gone a little bit. So that's probably was the time I knew I was leaving the club at the end of the season. Pep was really good because he said to me, Saba, I would like to have you this season because you know the club, I need players with your experience to help me, you know, my first season in England. But you know, as a player, you need to be clever. And especially if you love the club, you need to leave in the right, at the right moment, at the right time, and just let the new players to come in and continue, you know, doing the job for the club. That's why they went for Cancelo and Walker.
What was that first season like with Pep coming in? Because we know he's just got all these ideas, his blueprint about how he wants things to be played out on the field. What was it like seeing him trying to implement that in training every day?
Well, I remember we've been working really hard in pre-season because, as you all know, that Pep likes to play out from the back and all different movements that some of the players we have not done it before. And we needed to work like almost every day tactically to see how we needed to pass the ball to each other between centre-back, midfielders, full-backs. And he was really good in, you know, always giving small details who can really make a difference. We've seen things that I haven't seen before with Pep. You know, he's this kind of manager. He's so clever, so good on many things. And I remember in pre-season in some of the games, he was really, really focused on that. You know, guys, I don't want you to, or company, I don't know, just on the centre back to go long or direct. No, I want you to play the ball to the full backs and some of the midfielders who would come deep to create an extra man at the back, you know, and we made a couple of mistakes as well, and it's always that confidence that you need to get the ideas right, and Pep was always really confident on that, and that was really good from him.
One more, I know, I'm sorry, I'm really interested by the whole dynamic, Pep. Does he lose it at halftime? Do you get that kind of shouting, angry hairdryer that we associate with Sir Alex Ferguson?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one of the game away from home, I think it was Leicester. We were losing 3-0, something like that at halftime. And probably that was the first time with Pep was losing 3-0 at halftime as a manager. And he was fuming. He was really, really angry with us. And, you know, you like that also from him, because apart from being a great manager tactically and all that, he's a manager who can also inspire players. But when you're not doing the right thing, he's always shouting, and, you know, he wants the best out from the players. So, yeah, I remember exactly that game. He was really upset at halftime.
Right, enough Pep fest. For the panel, let's go for you, Don. World Cup's about 6 months from now. With Sancho, Kane, Sterling, Mount all in great form, are England in your top three to win?
Oh, I think they'd have to be in the conversation, wouldn't they? I think they would. Yeah. 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 I'm just going to keep saying yeah. I'm just going to keep saying yeah.
I'm going to keep letting you say yeah until you say something interesting.
That's all I've got. I'm trying to think the form that they're in. Why wouldn't they be in?
Pablo, who's got a better chance of winning the World Cup, England or Argentina?
Argentina, Dan. 100%. Hey, 29 games unbeaten now.
Ah, what? CONMEBOL, that's easy to qualify from. You should try CONCACAF, Pablo. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's...
Isn't it, Jack?
That's what.
Hey, Messi wants to win the World Cup.
He's old. He's past it.
That's the only thing.
He's gone.
Messi needs to win absolutely everything.
He's done. For Don,
in
what
Messi
do you think...
Messi with trust.
For Don, what do you think is the percentage chance of Arsenal doing a Spurs and finishing out of the top four?
I think
they're going to do it. I think Arsenal are going to finish fourth. I think they're going to do it. But I think now, as it stands, Dan, I think it's between them and Man United for fourth. I don't see Tottenham's consistency. That's a massive problem.
So what percentage
got
chance,
injured.
Don?
50-50 between them and Man United.
Everything's
wow.
Just 50-50. That's a cop-out.
Keeping it simple, Shaq. I'm keeping it simple.
That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out.
For all, after seeing Kai Havertz with a great first touch, who is the best player? Wow. OK, let's start off with you, Don. Who is the best player you've seen with an insane first touch?
Is that played with or against?
Just in life.
Oh, I mean, Zidane's got to be up there for sure.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho. I got asked to man mark Prozaneski once. Scotland versus Croatia.
He
in
loves
Croatia.
The story. Every day this story's boring. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he ripped me to shreds. I couldn't get near him. he was about 50. So I think the two that come to me head like Shaq, I said, I think Ronaldinho and Zidane, I think.
Yeah, not bad company. Pablo, Messi.
Messi.
David Silva.
Not bad. Oh, not bad. Blermin Eck. That's pretty good.
What a player.
Yeah, what a player. Blermin Eck. Final question. Dan, I like your sense of humour. Thank you very much. But it takes a while to get used to. Did anyone on the show or in previous jobs not get you a joke in and absolutely lose it at you? Stevie's lost it at me before when I've tried. I don't think... We had a lecturer in university. First lecture with him, and he had fizzy water. He opened it, and it just sprayed all over his face, and I just laughed in his face. And he goes... small things, small minds. That pretty much was where that relationship started.
You had a point.
Yes, yeah, he did. Yeah. Where's he now, eh? He was Shaka Hislop.
Opening fizzy water, mate.
Yeah, take that. Yes, yeah, Jim O'Brien. Right, that is it. ESPN FC is back on your screen tomorrow. Thank you very much to Don Hutchinson and to Pablo Zabaleta. There's Champions League tomorrow, show.
Wait, is there?
Man United are playing Atletico. That's going for extra time. Definitely, we're late.